This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And good morning. Welcome to The Gardening Show. And Bob Harris is right across from me. Good morning.
Good morning, Igor.
And we have our phone lines are open as always. As you heard, the phone lines 814-368-9372. We're on Facebook Live. No show and tell today, though.
No, not today.
But that's
today.
Okay. That's all right. You can comment on our Facebook Live and ask your question that way. Our email address is garden@wesb.com as well. So several ways to get your question to Bob, and take it away.
Okay. Yeah, we were talking just before we started on the air here about poisonous plants. And so I want to give a few hints to some people.
Yeah, I had a plant, and this is how it came about. I asked you about it because I had a weed that just grew up, and it had a purple flower, and yeah. It has berries on it and stuff. And my chickens were kind of pecking at it, and I said, gee, I hope that's not poisonous. Yeah. I don't know if I should pull that or let that be.
And that's a real common one. It's called nightshade. I saw pictures of it. It's called poison nightshade. Like you said, it's kind of a vining plant, very common around here. Smaller leaves. We call them lance-shaped almost. Little green berries that will turn red as it gets later in the summer, early fall. And it has a certain smell to it. If you rub the leaf and then smell your hand, it'll smell like a faint hint of chocolate and peanut butter.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of the poison plants have that same smell. It's the types of acids they have in them that create that.
So chocolate and peanut butter, well, it sounds like it should go together like chocolate and peanut butter. Mm-mm, delicious. No, it's a bad thing in the plant world.
So it's something interesting. Everyone should be aware of, you know, if you have small children or pets, you know, to check your yard fully for anything like that. And like I said, a lot of these poison plants kind of look similar. They produce berries. They have that flower. A lot of them will have this purple flower with the yellow center in it. And, of course, that smell, you know, you can always rub a leaf and smell it. You're not going to get poisoned from that. As a matter of fact, if you eat one berry, you know, you're not going to be
sent to the hospital.
Yeah, sent to the hospital. Yeah. You'll know right away because it's going to be such a bitter, bitter taste because that's the acid poison in it is very bitter. So, chances are, you know, your children or your pet will never eat more than one berry. So that makes it a little bit safer. But for us, you know, to double check your yard, you know, if you see an unusual plant, and you can look it up on the internet, of course, or just pull it out and make sure you get rid of it to be safe, because there are quite a few out there. And you know, I know it's getting popular that people are trying to let areas of their yard or maybe their whole yard go back to nature. And that's one of the consequences of doing that, letting nature take over. She does produce a lot of poisonous plants for the young and our animals. So just be aware of that you just can't let things go and ignore them. You still got to inspect, just like if you had a real highly manicured lawn, still got to do your inspection and take care of undesirables in there. So be aware of that and be on your guard. You know, even the common privet plant that a lot of us use for a hedge produces a berry that's a little bit poisonous. You know, you'd have to eat a handful in order to get ill, but still it is poisonous, a lot of them out there.
All right.
So just be aware of all that. I'm not trying to scare people out of their yard. You know, I don't think there's ever been a poison case in Bradford of a plant.
Right.
So, yeah. But there has been in the Roman times, very famous poisonings of some of the emperors.
And what else is?
What else? Yeah.
What I was just thinking, well, I'm kind of thinking like, well, Bob said, don't ignore or neglect your yard or whatever it is
yeah.
that you said. Like, how dare you? Because how? Because yeah. I have this plant growing here.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's poison nightshade.
But it's in the very corner by my bush, you know, a line of bushes and stuff. And I don't get in there in the very, very corner of my property. That's where it's sprouting up. And yeah it's pretty darn big. Well, I mean, I guess it's been sprouting up for a while. I just didn't pay any attention.
No, they just grow rapidly.
Thing's big now.
Yeah. So it's probably...
at least it'll be easy to pull out, I guess.
Yeah, it will be. Especially if the ground is damp. You know, if the ground isn't damp. You know, and I'm kind of jumping around. Make sure you pull it before those berries get ripe and drop. Because they will drop viable seeds. And then you'll have a bunch of that... poison nightshade.
Right. Now, if I didn't have animals, that would be fine because I actually don't mind the way it looks. But
Yeah, really. It's kind of pretty and and does have a neat smell to it. And not everybody will smell that chocolate and peanut butter, but I do. You know, it's very faint. It's a strong smell, but it's just faintly peanut butter and faintly chocolate. Everybody has a different nose, so maybe you'll smell something different. But it has a heavy scent. It maybe that's a better explanation.
Oh, okay. What else is on your agenda to talk about today?
So besides scary things, all scary things.
Oh, it's the gloom and doom episode of the gardening show. Now I know what to title it for the download on the website.
Along with the poisonous plants to be aware of, but not to be afraid of, are also this time of year the hornets and bees. Are getting in what I call their protective mode. You know, this is their last chance. We're going in the fall, their last chance to build their home and raise their young. So they get extremely defensive. Up until this point, you know, we've been able to work right around them and they don't bother us. We don't bother them. Now they can get very defensive. Even if we get near, they are afraid. So they may attack us. For no reason at all. So just be aware of that too when you're out in your yard. You know, just be a real observant of everything. You know, and those hornets and wasps and bees, they can build their nests in the ground, in trees, behind our shutters, anywhere, you know. So just be real aware of your surroundings. And matter of fact, you know, if you have pets and small children, you know, once in a while go out there and check the yard to make sure it's safe for them out there. So just be aware that. Those little insects and critters get real defensive this time of year. That's just the way nature is.
Yeah. Neighbor pointed out that I have a nest in my ground, like by where people walk around.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, well, I guess I got to spray that now. And
yeah. And so speaking of sprays, and I'm not an expert on this, but I have had to deal with it for over 50 years. If you're going to spray yourself, I recommend getting an expert to take care of these, because it can cause a lot of heartache for yourself. But if you really feel you can, do it late at night when they're all calmed down, they're sleeping, you know, or very, very early morning. Don't do it during the day. Try to stay away from it because they're active. A lot of them are in the nest. A lot of them are away from the nest. And if you do it in the day, your chances are you're going to get stung.
Yeah, you know, I had an idea because I'm cheap, you see, and you know, instead of buying a spray, I was thinking, you know, I wonder if I could boil a big pot of water and dump it into the ground nest. What do you think? Do you think that would be effective?
Yeah, it would be effective, but, you know, it would kill that area, too. Kill that area of lawn and so on.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll just be very careful. I don't know.
And I don't know. I've never tried it. I don't know if it'll work, you know. But I do know some guys will dump gasoline or kerosene light it on fire.
No,
that's
dumb. No.
Yeah, that's just plain dumb. Don't do that.
No.
There's a lot of specific sprays out there. They're not very expensive. One of my favorite at Worth W. Smith is Bengal Tiger. Because it can spray up to 30 feet away. So I don't even have to get close. Wow. And it foams. so that wherever I spray, it foams up, creates a nice big mass.
Bengal tiger.
Yeah, Bengal tiger. I like that one.
Okay.
But there's a lot of other ones out there. But if it is a hornet or a bee's nest, try to get one of those that shoots a long ways, 25, 30 feet, you know, so you don't have to get close. Because if you get too close, you probably will get stung.
Yeah, these are yellow jackets, so they're not like the good bees.
Yeah.
We're not talking about getting rid of good bees.
Yeah, we're not talking about honeybees. No, those you definitely would call in an expert, you know, and chances are they might not even charge you for getting rid of them for you because they want them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But those hornets and wasps, yeah, I'm afraid we have to do something different there. Or just stay away from the area.
There you go. I said to my neighbor, good, it'll keep the kids away.
What about the dogs?
That too, yeah. Strange, you know, people walking their dogs and not cleaning up.
Yeah. So that's a lot of doom and gloom there. That's enough of that. Otherwise, you know, you can enjoy your yard, most of us all the time. I wanted to tell a couple little stories. You know, sometimes it's kind of funny to me how plants get their name. A lot of times they'll be named after the person that discovered the plant, or sometimes like the forsythia. That's a very, very popular plant all over the world. It's popular. It came from China. And how it got its name, that's a neat shrub, grows quite large, that blooms a pretty yellow flower early in the spring. That's usually, for most of us, that's a sign of spring, the forsythia blooming, all those yellow blooms. So Robert Fortune brought that forsythia from China to Europe, and it became very popular because it was easy to grow, flowered very well. Easy to propagate. That means to make more. So it was a nice, easy plant for everyone. And of course, only the wealthy had it at first. And then they found out how easy it was to propagate and grow. And soon everybody had that plant. And of course, the wealthy decided that it was going out of vogue because now everybody
has
it.
Yeah, the commoners
now. Yeah. So along come a guy named William Forsythe, which the plant was eventually named for, the forsythia. He was a Scottish gardener, and he was very famous too, and he was a showy character, and he liked the shrub, like the shrub that's named after him, that bears his name, was showy too. But he became extremely famous when the government, the British government, was, you know, the oak tree was very important to them. They had the largest navy in the world due to all the oak trees. And, of course, they were cutting a lot of them down. There wasn't a whole lot of them left. A disease came along, started to destroy the ones they hadn't cut down. So the king offered a reward to anybody who could come up with a way to save the oak trees. And William Forsythe came up with a what he called a plaster that you would rub on the bark of the oak tree. And it was a farce, but he did get paid well for it. What it consisted of was manure, urine, crocodile guts, and all sorts of vile things that you would rub on the bark.
And it was complete nonsense. But
nonsense, but the king fell for it because William Forsythe was a famous gardener, and the king gave him a huge ransom. And, of course, when they found out it didn't work, that's how really the shrub got its name was, you know, it's just a not real well-liked plant, just like William Forsythe was really not well-liked because he took the money and ran with a foolish concoction he made up. So that's how that plant got the name. Now, we love it again today. It's not a common, just for commoners. It's for everyone. It's a great, great shrub. So don't look down on it.
You got another one to tell us about?
Yeah.
I want to play a quick break.
Okay.
And thank our sponsors at Worth W. Smith, and we'll be right back with another plant.
Yeah.
And we'll find out the origins of that. So we'll be right back, and we'll take your phone calls, too, if you have any questions. It's The Gardening Show on B107.5.
If you need it, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. Stay comfortable this summer with a room air conditioner from Worth Smith. Get them while they last. Doing some drainage work? You'll find culvert pipes 6-inch to 48 in 20-foot lengths. Lots of wheelbarrows in stock, too. Doing some camping? Visit their new RV parts department for your quick repairs. There's a big supply of canopies in stock, too. And don't forget to fill up your propane tanks. If you need it for summer, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
Welcome back to The Gardening Show, B107.5 FM, 75 years of serving Bradford, WESB. How about that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's 1947. So what's the next plant that you wanted to tell us the history of?
It's not a plant, it's an animal.
Yeah,
an animal.
Okay.
The Norway lemming. I know many people know the story, but not everybody. The Norway lemmings.
Lemmings. Those are the ones that jump off the cliffs, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And then everybody else follows.
They're like little guinea pigs. And for many, many years, you know, hundreds of years, no one could figure out why do these animals do this. They, you know, they eventually make their way to the edge of the cliffs and jump into the ocean and, of course, drown. So why does this happen? Well, it's only been, you know, in the last few decades that we've really discovered the whole reason. The Norway lemmings, on top of those cliffs, the bluffs there, grows grass, the sedges and grasses, and the Norway lemmings feed off them, and everybody is real happy. But as the Norway lemmings feed more, of course, they start to produce more young, and the population grows and grows to the point where the plant is being mowed down by these little creatures to the point where it's having trouble recovering, because every time it grows a little bit, the population's so strong, big of lemmings, it gets mowed right back down. So the plant has developed a way of defending itself. And they found that, this is just amazing, that in a 24-hour period, all the plants on this bluff will decide that's enough getting chewed up. We're going to change our chemical makeup, and this happens just overnight. Instead of being edible and nutritious for the lemming, they start to produce a poison that the lemmings can't digest. So they get hungrier and hungrier, and they keep working their way out to the edge of the cliff.
Oh, wow.
And eventually they fall off the cliff. And then when the population is lowered, and this happens in a 24-hour shift.
Wow.
The plant all of a sudden stops making that poison and becomes nutritious again, and the lemmings are able to feed on it, and the plant but still has enough to regrow and recover and reproduce. So it's kind of a neat thing where nature is taking care of itself. It's a good idea to mow that grass down because that forces it to multiply. So the lemmings are doing the plant a favor. So if they just let it grow tall, probably other plants would grow tall around it and maybe shade them out. So it'd be hard for that plant to continue to grow. So the lemmings are doing the grasses and sedges a favor. But of course, like most things, they become, a little overpopulated. And then, so the plant has to take care of that population. And so that happens. So it's kind of a neat story. And in the plant world, there's a lot of those neat stories like that, how plants have learned, because they've been here a lot longer than we have learned to get along with the animals and use the animals even.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, that's not an origin of the name on that one. I was waiting for, like, okay, who's this guy Lemming that jumped off a cliff?
Yeah. You used to be that there was a term, you know, you were called a lemming,
right?
If you did foolish things.
If you were a follower.
Yeah. Or follower, yeah. So that's that story there, the Norway lemming story.
814-368
WESB. That's 814-368-9372 if you have a gardening question for Bob.
Another thing, you know, I talked about the bees and some of the other pests that we really don't want around. I didn't talk about ways to keep them away other than killing them. So lemon pledge is a great one. Most insects and mammals really don't like the smell of lemon or citrus. So it's become a common practice where there are a lot of insects that you can spray around your window frame, around your door frame with lemon pledge. That will keep a lot of those insects away. I have great success with it with ants. Most of us have a lot of ants around here. I even like to throw a few old lemons underneath my deck because that's where ants love to build their homes, it seems like, or skunks and woodchucks. And it seems to me that it does deter them. Ever since I've been doing that, I just don't seem to have that problem anymore. So there are other ways. Lemon pledge is a great one. Anything lemon scented is a great one. You know, you see a lot of the cleaners and sprays and so on have a lemon scent in, and that's one of the reasons. But another great one that my grandmother used, and I use too, is mulberry. And you can get, and they're hard to come by, but you can get mulberry scented candles. She always used to put them in the bedroom, you know, where you have a lot of material, your clothing, your bedding, and so on, where that may be attractive to certain bugs. And the mulberry can deter a lot of those bugs and keep them away from you. Plus, it's just a doggone nice scent, too. So that's a couple of those there. What else do we want to talk about?
I'm just writing down some of these
okay.
Neat little hints because I always forget about that lemon pledge trick.
Yeah.
That's just really neat.
It is a neat one. Yeah. It's, you know, it's not going to stain your paint. It's not going to make your paint fall off or anything like that. So it's just a good product to use. It's worth having that can of lemon pledge around.
We've had a problem here at WESB in the back door. We've been getting some a lot of black ants.
Oh, yeah.
Black
yeah.
ants. That's not going to deter them, is it?
Yeah. Yeah, they hate the smell of lemon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, there's a big war going on with ants.
A big war?
Yeah.
The big ant war of 2022. Wow.
There is an ant. I've only seen it a couple times in my life that is yellow. It's not black. That's Ooh. Yellow. And of course, the black ants really hate that ant because it has a citrusy smell.
Oh, wow.
It's most of the time it's called a pineapple ant because if you really smell, you might smell that, get a scent of pineapple, but it's also a citrusy smell. And those ants really dislike each other.
We have those here?
Yeah, we do have them here.
Wow.
I've seen them twice in my career here. Once out at Pitt, which was extremely fascinating. And the very first time I ever saw yellow ants, light yellow.
Is it a small ant? Or
yeah, it's small ants. They're very small. And I had picked up a rock and there was a whole nest of them. And it just fascinated me. And I said, geez, I'm out at Pitt and there's a lot of scientists here. I got to capture some of these and ask them, you know, what is this? Because I've never seen it before.
You're right there where you have resources.
Well, by the time I had run inside and gotten a hold of a scientist and we looked it up and we found out what they were, I got back there and a whole colony of black ants had showed up and destroyed them all.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah. They just don't get along. That's just another story. But it was very interesting to me. And, you know, those things do occur. So be on the lookout for that. Ants can be a big problem. And so besides the lemon pledge or anything citrusy, if you are fighting them off and you're going to use the ant poisons, it's extremely important that you always change up. If you're going to use one kind, I hate to mention names, you know, but I will. They're all good. A lot of people like to use taro. And the ants will feed on it, take it back to the nest, and feed it to their young, and it kills off the whole colony. Now, over time, and it's a short time, they can become immune to that taro.
short time, like a couple weeks or a month?
Yeah, a couple generations. Couple generations of ants, which may be a couple months.
Okay.
Or one season anyhow. They can become immune to it. And all of a sudden it becomes a food source rather than a poison. So it's a good idea that you change up. Don't continue to use year after year one product. Some 1 year or for half the year use taro, then the next year go to combat. They're made up of different chemical, different material. And of course, that does not give the ant or insect a chance to get immune to that poison. So it's a good idea to change it up. So that will help protect you against those invading species.
We have a couple minutes left on the gardening show. If you would like to ask Bob a question about, apparently he knows about nature too. Well, like the animal kingdom and all that. You could give us a call, 814-368-9372, or email us, garden@wesb.com, and we're on Facebook Live as well.
So yeah, you were talking about that, talking about knowing nature. You know, some people don't like to have a lot of birds in their yard because the birds poop on everything.
Right.
But also the birds can be a great source of fighting off the insects for you. And I think I've told this story before, just the chickadee alone, when it's raising a brood, it'll lay 4 to 5 eggs. And to raise those chicks to adulthood, it's going to take 5,000 caterpillars, which are eating all the leaves of your plants out there in your yard. So the chickadee is helping keep that population down. So sometimes it can be a great benefit to encourage certain animals like the birds into your yard, and even the bats. The bats have become very popular because they can eat thousands and thousands of insects every night.
Yeah, no need to be worried about the bats. They're not after you.
No, they're not.
They're after the bugs.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing because, woof.
Yeah,
the mosquitoes can be
pretty nasty.
A challenge.
You know, try to invite all of nature into the yard. Don't fight against them, because nature will eventually even out the score, take care of itself. Hopefully, you know, of course, there are those cases where one particular species gets overabundant, like, let's say, with the birds, like a pigeon. All of a sudden, the pigeons start coming into your yard, and they'll become more and more and more. But I have learned that over the years, you know, especially like in my yard, I like to feed the birds. And early in the spring, I get all the neat little songbirds. And then come summer, all of a sudden, a few pigeons will start to show up. And I'll have two, and then the next week I'll have three, and the next week a dozen.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden it starts going the other way. All of a sudden there's less than a dozen, and now I'm down to two, and all of a sudden there's none. And that's, again, nature. If you just let it take its course, that hawk has discovered that there's a lot of pigeons in Bob's yard. And pigeons are real easy captures. So, again, you know, I let nature take its course. The hawk lowered the population.
The hawk got fed.
Yeah.
Everybody happy.
Everybody's happy.
Well, except the pigeons.
Yeah, I'm afraid so.
Oh, well, that's nature. And with that, we are all out of time.
Oh, great. Okay.
Our gloom and doom episode is over. Poor pigeons. Oh, well. So we'll be back next week with more gardening show. Again, if you have any questions, if you think of something during the week, send us that email, garden@wesb.com, and we'll answer it on next week's show. And you have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much for coming in, Bob.
You're welcome.
All right. Do it again next week right here on The Gardening Show, WESB, B107.5 FM.